Blog Talk Radio. Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Yes, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am excited about you on today, and I'm so glad that you joined me on today. Grab your Bible and come right in and make yourself right at home. We are going to have another glorious and wonderful lesson on today, and I know you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. These messages are coming to empower you, to revelate you, and to give you greater understanding, even as things are transpiring in this world, even right now as we speak. You will be tremendously blessed, amen, as you join in on today. So call somebody. Encourage them to call in at 646-378-1469 and join us live where they can listen on these particular lessons all the way back to 2007 on the Blog Talk Radio and / Home Talk Radio. It will take you right into our links of various lessons that have been transpiring or been taught over the course of 9 years, as well as you will also be able to hear some of the wonderful interviews that we've done with some beautiful, wonderful men and women of God. So, but on today, as I was seeking the heart and the mind of the Lord for today, I just want to speak to your heart real briefly, and then we're going to be talking about the early church empowered, talking about the supreme over human resistance, doing in spite of all that we see that is going on. We have to put our ears down to the spirit of the Lord our God to find out, God, what are you saying right now? As never before, we as the children of God must begin to allow our light to shine even brighter and the love of God to even to flow even greater out of our hearts and mind and soul. And in order for that to take place, it's going to require us to yield ourselves to God, to be in prayer and to fasting and calling upon the name of the Lord, that God can strengthen, God can undergird and fortify we as people as never before. I believe that there's going to be a great influx of souls coming in, a great outpour of the power of God that's going to take place as never before. I'm president of how the power of God is going to begin to flow upon his people as never before, in spite of where we sit even right now in this time. God is still yet in control. His power, his blood have not lost any power in that blood. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. I know that the power that is in that blood, amen, that we can still plead it, we can still apply it as never before. But let's take a look at our lesson on today, and then we're going to pray at the end of this particular lesson for all of the things, the world's concern, things that are happening, the grief, the sadness, the brokenheartedness, the life that has been taken and all of the things that are taking place even right now, the seen things that are seen and the things that are taking place that are unseen. That's the type of God that we serve. His eyes still go to and fro, searching, seeking, and he knows all things. And none of this is not taking him by unaware of and things. He's not intimidated by what's happening, but there is a remnant. And there is a word from the Lord. So let's take a look at the word on today. I believe that it's going to bless you. It's going to inspire you. It's going to raise your faith. It's going to revelate you. It's going to feed you on today. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is going to be one of the scripture texts that we'll take Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, and then we're going to look at a couple of other passages of scriptures over in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 and 12, and then we're going to close out on Acts 4:33. It reads on this line, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Luke 24:49 say, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 and verse 12. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gates of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Acts chapter 4, verse number 33. "And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." And I thought, so far, the reading of the scripture. And for today, our thought is, Jesus fulfilled his promise that his followers would receive power. My God, my God. Let's take a look at that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, affirming, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit in a power." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 4. Now, this was not a new development, but it was a continuation of how the church began. The promise of the outpouring of the Spirit of God was Jesus' focus during his final days with his disciples. He repeatedly pointed out that when the Holy Ghost came, that they will receive power to be witnesses throughout the world. Opposition and resistance to the gospel quickly came from religious and political entities, but it did not stop the explosion growth of the church. Instead, ordinary people allowed God to use them and work through them in spite of persecution, and they accomplished miracle signs and wonders. Jesus' promise of authority over all powers of the enemy, and you'll find that over in Luke 19 and verse number 19, became a living reality to the believers and empowered them to overcome resistance from human opposition to the truth. Powerful truths transformed faithful followers into believers who trusted the Lord to fulfill his promises of power, protection, and provision. Let's take a look at power and effective demonstration and proof. Let's look at that, how God initiated his church. Before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, Jesus had made a powerful promise about the success of his church. He would build it regardless of the opposition or right against it. The Greek word for the church was ecclesia, a group of people called out for a specific purpose. these God-called people responded with a willingness to obey his word. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his followers and shared with them many things from the scripture. You'll find that over in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, 4, and verse 45. He wanted to anchor them in the word of God, and he wanted them to focus on receiving the Spirit. Thus, he instructed them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise. When they questioned him about restoring the kingdom of Israel, he redirected them to the promise of power through the Spirit. This explosive experience exceeded anything else the disciples had known. They soon learned that what they received on the day of Pentecost was certainly worth the wait. Now, God ordained his church. Jesus sent out 70 workers in pairs to cities and places that he later would visit. He sent them forth with the promise of a great harvest and prayer requests for the laborers. They returned joyfully, exuding in the power that they had over demons through Jesus' name. Jesus then told them of the power that they would have over serpents, scorpions, and even Satan himself. However, he directed them to rejoice not in their power over these enemies, but to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Then Jesus himself rejoiced, perhaps because they were awakening to the power that he had given them. The disciples then exercised that power in their outreach effort. The gospel writer tells us that Jesus commissioned his church to go with the good news of the gospel to the world, and they were to teach and preach, baptize believers, and be powerful witnesses for the Lord. Jesus promised that signs would follow them and that he would confirm the word they preached with signs as well. Indeed, the Spirit of power enabled one to be a witness. The dunamis, amen, which literally denotes power, strength, and might and authority in action. That's what he was saying over in Acts 1:8. You will be endued with power, strength, might, and authority in action. God certainly expects his church to be active for him even in this world today. Let's take a look further. God, he established his own church. Jerusalem was a focal point of the fulfilled prophecy, both from the ancient writers as foretold by Jesus after the resurrection. His disciples were to preach repentance and remission of sins in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Furthermore, the disciples were to wait there for the promise of the Father. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the disciples obediently waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. Soon after the disciples returned to Jerusalem, they received the promise of the Father. That was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost powerfully filled Peter and the others who made up the group of about 120 in the upper room. In response to the questioning crowd, Peter preached a powerful message. He cited Joel's prophecy of the outpouring of God's Spirit along with other scriptures from the book of Psalms. When another question followed regarding what the listeners should do, Peter responded by preaching the word of Jesus. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Also, you'll find it in Luke 24 and 37. We are still to preach repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus, as well as receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, God established his church upon the revelation of his identity and the message of repentance and remission of sin. He continues to fill repentance people with his Spirit even today. Let's look a little further. God conducted the dynamics of his church growth and activity. Growth is God's plan in both the natural and spiritual realm. He desired to see his kingdom increase, and he wants to advance individual believers to greater maturity. Isaiah prophecy concerning the coming Messiah included growth, the increase of his government and the place there shall be no end, Isaiah 9 and 7. In fact, growth and increase is the destiny of the church. After a dynamic beginning, this new church of over 3,000 born-again believers continues steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer, Acts 2, verses 42. Moreover, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2 and 47. This addition soon became multiplication as the spirit-filled believers began sharing their experience with others. Now let's look at the ordinary men and women that God used. The transformed man. During Christ's arrest and trial, all of the disciples fled in spite of following Peter's lead of pleading to die with Jesus rather than to deny him. And you can find that Mark chapter 14, verse 31. The disciple then hid behind closed doors after the crucifixion, fearful of possibly suffering the same fate as Jesus. To this group of frightening followers, the resurrected Lord showed his hands and sighed and said, "Peace be unto you." Moreover, one of Jesus' first messages after the resurrection included this command, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You'll find that over in John 20 and verse 22. The sound of the rushing wind filled the upper room where the disciple was assembled as the ecstatic group spoke in other tongues. And when this was noise abroad, a multitude gathered to see what was happening. The power of the Holy Ghost formed the fearful disciples into bold witnesses. Instead of being scared of the crowd and intimidated by the question, Peter, along with other disciples, stood and declared the divine records of the resurrection and the plan of salvation. So powerful was the presentation that 3,000 more received the new birth experience that day. This group continued steadfastly, and they were daily and united together, an effort to reach the world with truth that would transform lives. Now let's look further. Transformed women. Women were followers of the Lord during his ministry on earth, especially in evidence. It was in evidence throughout his final days. They demonstrated their devotion to Christ by being last to leave the cross and first to arrive at the tomb. Moreover, several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, was among the 120 who received the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Peter quoted from the prophet Joel in his message on the day of Pentecost. And you'll see that Acts chapter 2, verse 16 through verse 21, and Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through verse 32. Through this prophecy, though this prophecy was approximately 800 years old, God showed his faithfulness by fulfilling it after the passing of five daughters and handmaidens as being among those who the Spirit of God would abide in. Further, the book of Acts mentioned women such as Dorcas, Lydia, Priscilla serving in the church. They were both instrumental and influential in their service to the Lord. Moreover, Paul clearly stated that the new covenant of the baptism is not gender specific like that of the old covenant of the circumcision. Instead, all became one in Christ Jesus as truth triumphed by transforming both men and women into powerful believers of the gospel. The I am claim of Jesus conclusively proved the sufficiency that we find in him. He will be all that we need since we are insufficient without in ourselves. We discover perhaps the greatest of these I am statement in the Lord's promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, Matthew 22 and 20. His continuous presence is a powerful promise to propel his people into the harvest and to sustain them even in the world. When Jesus told his disciples about the Comforter, he let them know that he would go always, but that he would send his, he would go away, but he would send his spirit to them. He promised, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, John 14 and 18. The persecutors of the church had to acknowledge the presence of the comforter. In spite of their threats and disparaging perception, they marveled at the boldness of Peter and John by taking knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4 and verse 13. Not only had they been with Jesus for over 3 years, but they now had his spirit dwelling on the inside. Let's take a look at the Holy Spirit. In the gospel, John mentioned the Comforter several times, identifying him both as the Spirit of Truth and the Holy Ghost, and Jesus promised to send the Comforter to the disciple after his departure. John the Baptist, he prophesied of the Holy Ghost and the baptism as a primary work of the Messiah, Matthew 3 and 11. It is sufficient and significant that John focused on the Spirit in this statement rather than healing, raising the dead, and other phenomenal works of Jesus. In the book of Acts, Luke twice referred to prophetic utterance regarding the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first instance was when Jesus focused his disciples on the promise of the Father that they will receive in Jerusalem. And you will see that over in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The second occasion was when Peter explained to the Jewish brethren about the Gentiles receiving the Holy Ghost. Both instances resulted in life-changing experience for those who were involved and the world-changing potential of the church. And that's key right there. The church has potential to make a change. Now, these changes are still possible today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, the power of the Holy Ghost will bring a final change to believers by bringing them into the blessing of eternal life in our heavenly home. Indeed, the rapture will occur because of the resurrection power of the Spirit of God, Romans 8 and 11. Until then, the power of the Holy Spirit makes changes in the believers and empowering him for or her for spiritual growth as well. Colossians 1 and 27 say, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory and of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, let's look further, that God has invested his power in humanity. And that's what the church has to really go back and embrace, the power that God has invested in your life. If you receive the Holy Ghost, there is dunamis power residing inside of you. Jesus possesses all of the authority, and in his church, he put the authority into action, which translated into power. Moreover, he promised his followers the same power through the Holy Ghost. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high, Luke 24 and 49. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, they will become witnesses of Jesus throughout the world, beginning in Jerusalem. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter 1, verses 8. It said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the apostle Paul declared, but we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. This amazing transforming power of God's Spirit is resident in the believer to help them faithfully endure all difficulties, obstacles, as well as circumstances that take place in our life. Peter and John reached out in faith to the lame man by the gate called Beautiful, Acts 3, verse 11, 1 through 11. They did not have silver or gold to help the man, or who have never taken a step in his life or of more than 40 years. What they did have was power in the name of Jesus. And by his authority, they admonished the man to rise up and walk. The distance from the temple gate called Beautiful to Solomon's porch was only a short walk. But the healed beggar leaped and praised God all the way while the wondering crowd gathered. Peter was quick to deny that the miracle resulted from their power or own holiness. Instead, he preached them a message on Jesus, the resurrection, the repentance, proclaiming that the name of Jesus and faith in his name had made this lame man strong. My God, my God. Let's look at the unique portrait of power. Further, let's look at the power of Satan. The persecution of the church took another fatal turn when the King Herod executed James, the brother of John. He was in prison. Peter, because the Jews was pleased with such action. And we go on to look further, and that King Herod came from a line of rulers who opposed the righteousness and historically spilled the blood of the innocent. He exercised great power in the region that he ruled, and he could have targeted the church for terror and destruction. As the scripture revealed, he stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, Acts 12:1. However, the hand of God was greater and brought great deliverance even for Peter. Now let's look further. Let's take a look at the power of prayer. And I just want to interject real quickly. On May 26th of this year, 2016, God spoke to my heart. I got up and I felt an alarm going off in my spirit. It's like when the first car alarms came out, when the alarm went off, the horn started blowing, the car started shaking and things, and the light started blinking. And that's what I was feeling in my spirit. And I said, God, what is this that I'm feeling? And he said, warn my people, tell my people to get back to prayer and fasting and turn their hearts back to God and the things of God as never before. He said, put out the clarion call and tell them, do not ignore the warning. My God, my God. And as we sharing, even right now, I can even feel the power. And since then, seeing some of the devastating things that have taken place in this earthly realm and things, children of God, we have to get back to the place where God is calling for his children. That's the place of prayer. Let's look at the power of prayer. Well, the four quarantine was four squadrons of four soldiers each held Peter in prison. The church was holding prayer meetings. They prayed earnestly for Peter while other guards stood outside Peter's prison cell. He slept bound with chains between two guards. Death was likely his destiny in the next few days, yet Peter felt peaceful enough to sleep through the night. Perhaps he took the promise of God up Psalm 127:2, literally, he giveth his beloved seek sleep. In response to the prayer of the church, now, let me say that again. In response to the prayer of the church, I believe that the church needs to go back to praying so that God can respond to our prayers and our cry out unto him. This is what it says further. The Lord dispatched an angel to his servant in the prison cell. Once before, an angel had brought freedom to Peter in prison, Acts 5:19. The subsequent of event of an angelic visit is worthy of note. The angels came, a light shone. Peter was awakened and told to arise, and he had to gird himself, and he put on his sandals and his garment, and then he had to follow the angel through the doors. Although God performed the miraculous, Peter had action to take and responses to make as well. Deliverance from the chains and the prison required his participation as well. And so God is wanting us to participate with him as well. At first, Peter thought he was sleeping and seeing the vision. He had preached the prophecy of Joel that spoken of the dreams and vision, and he had seen the vision while on the housetop of Simeon the Tanner. However, when he realized that he was free, Peter made his way to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. A prayer meeting was going on in progress with several believers got there, and he soon discovered that it was easier to get out of prison than it was to get into the prayer meeting. However, he continued knocking, and someone finally admitted him into the house of astonished believers. Peter related the story of his miraculous deliverance and told them to relay the report to others, including James, the brother of the Lord. Indeed, we shall always share good news and give testimony of deliverance, publicly announcing answer prayers by an awesome God, our awesome God. Now let's look at the power of God's wrath. Once Herod learned that Peter escaped and thwarted his plan, he vented his wrath by killing the guards. However, powerful as he was, he soon experienced a greater power of judgment and wrath. His civil duties took him to Caesarea, where he delivered a speech. The response of the crowds was flattering as they exclaimed, "God and not of a man," Acts chapter 12 and 22. Becoming lifted up in himself, Herod did not acknowledge God and gave him the glory, and immediately an angel appeared and smote Herod with a deadly disease. His body became infested with worms and he died. Historian Josephus related an account of Herod's death very similar to that recorded in the book of Acts. Now let's look at the power of God's response. Death came to Herod while Peter enjoyed deliverance. Not only did Peter receive the freedom to minister, but also other church leaders such as Barnabas, Paul, and Silas. Amen. And John Mark was instrumental in the early church revival, continued to grow in both numbers and influence. Additions became multiplication in the church as the word of God spread, increasingly and effectively changing lives. Father, let your word spread, God. Let it continue to increase and let it continue to effectively change lives, Father. Now, the disciples seek the spirit of God and power. Now, prayer unfolded as a central activity in the early church. Instead of paralyzing the church and persecution and punishment, prompt more prayer, which produced more powerful activity for the new child of God. For example, Acts 3 and 1 tells of Peter and John on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Eventually, prayer had become a priority with the apostles. After the lame man was healed and the Jewish authorities seized the apostle and held them overnight, the next day they questioned Peter and John, and the high priest threatened them. And after their release, they went to the other believers with their own testimony. Instead of retreating in defeat, the church rose up and lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, Thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that it is." Acts chapter 4 and 24. Church, it's time to raise up as never before and lift up our voice. Their prayers was a boldness to speak the word in spite of threats, and of the Lord to demonstrate his power through more healings, signs, and wonder. The Lord was pleased with their prayers, and the place where they were gathered shook as the Spirit of God filled them. And God then imparted a new boldness to the disciples to preach the word of God. This focus on prayer continued with the apostle. When a need for taking care of the widow came up, the apostle prayed and then appointed seven men to minister to that need. Luke noted the apostle priority, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You find that over in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. I tell you, child of God, That's the formula. That's where the people of God need to be at. They gave themselves to prayer. They didn't just pray, but they gave over their life to prayer. They gave over their activities to prayer and calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue. God continued to give power to his church. The Spirit of God continued to empower the church today. Paul declared to the Galatians, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 25. Certainly the Holy Spirit is in the heart of both abundant life and spiritual progress. As a result of their prayer meeting after being threatened by the chief priests and elders, the apostles received great power. They witnessed of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which brought conviction to their religious leaders responsible for the crucifixion. Their testimony preaching brought deliverance and salvation to those who sought the Lord. God also imparted great grace to the apostle, Acts 4 and verse 33. The combination of the great power and the great grace brings victory to the church as it continues to be a witness to the world of Jesus, for Jesus. Let's look at how God granted power for a purpose. Now, Jesus summarized his mission with his statement, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost," Luke 19 and 10. Everything he did and does yet today is for the purpose, that purpose. Although central signs enumerate our entertainment, crazed world, God does not display his power for entertainment. During the trial before the crucifixion, Herod was glad to see Jesus, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him and hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. And you'll see that over in Luke chapter 23 and verse 8. However, the Lord did not satisfy Herod's curiosity with a miraculous display in a carnival atmosphere. Neither should the church seek signs today for the sake of producing something sensational, I should say. The message of the resurrection was a common topic for the apostle, and they continually emphasized this truth in their preaching. The story of the resurrection was what grieved the religious leaders and caused them to apprehend and threaten the apostles. Yet the apostle continued to speak of it with boldness and great power. The resurrection has many links attached to it. A death was necessary for there to be a resurrection. Calvary and the Savior's sacrifice are also necessary components of the story. These aspects of his death was what afford the blessing of being bought with a price. The empty tomb speaks of God's power over death, hell, and he imparted this power to the people who desired to change in their life through salvation. Indeed, the hope of heaven anchors and believers to a solid faith in Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus constitutes the gospel message. The good news, the gospel, is our identifying with him by dying out to our old lifestyle through repentance, being buried with him in the water baptism, and resurrecting to a new life by receiving the Holy Ghost. The abiding Spirit of God empowered this new life so that a child of God witnessing and spread the good news to all the others, even in this world. Now, in my conclusion for today, Paul was thankful for an assist that was effectual for evangelism. However, he also acknowledged that there was adversaries as well. You'll find it over in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9. Although none has been able to defeat it, adversaries have always come against the apostolic church. Satan has oppressed the spread of the gospel because of his transforming and delivering power, but he has no way to defeat the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and his saving name. Just as Jesus, though he had his death on the cross, and by his powerful resurrection defeated and destroyed the works of the devil, so the church will be triumphant. The promise, the Holy Spirit that Jesus imparted dwells within the church today. Certainly, the word of God assures us of his intention to work through us in a great way. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world, 1 John 4:4. The early church was born of and thrived in the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers had encountered much human and satanic opposition, but never was the opposition been effective in defeating God's divine design. Besides, the resurrection in his preaching, Acts 17:31, and in his personal walk with God, Philippians 3:10. The church today can exist and expand in victory through the power of the Spirit of God, which result in spiritual resurrection today and the promise of the future rapture and resurrection of the dead. Child of God, I come to tell you unequivocally and with the power and authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that God is calling his church back to the place of prayer, calling on his name as never before. When the church came together on behalf of Peter, they cried out unto God, and God released satanic, angelic powers to come up against the satanic powers that was holding Peter even in jail. I come to tell you that the church of God has not lost the power, but God said to get back to the place where he told us to, as with never before. There is a remnant. There is a group of people that believe the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the early church, and God is raising them up. And we're crying out unto the Lord God as never before, amen, and asking God to move by his power to come, to send forth his angelic powers to be released in this earthly realm as never before. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, he's calling for us, the ones that are called by his name, to humble ourselves, to pray and seek his face as never before, and turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. And so healing needs to take place in the land, but we have to be like the early church and get back to the place where the power resides, is that they're in prayer, calling on his name. Don't ignore the call. Don't ignore the prompting of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to his church to get back in position. Father, we thank you for this lesson on today as never before. Help us, we, your people, to be in position, God, and be in that place of prayer, Father, in our hearts as we walk in the spirit of prayer, corporate prayer, Father, as never before. And, Father, we praise your blessed name. Bless every listener, God. Everyone that would listen to this, stir their hearts to get to their prayer meeting and get back to the place of prayer to corporately call on the name of the Lord. Let every leader raise up and lead the people in prayer, God, as never before. And, God, we thank you. We'll give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. Well, child of God, I pray that you would bless on today. I believe that this lesson called us back to remembrance, where God wants us to be as a church as never before, especially in the day and time in which we're living. There's still yet power. There's power in his blood. There's power in his name. There's power when we come together and touch and agree and being on one accord. And we as the children of God must go back to the things that have been delivered unto the church as never before. He said, go back and wait into Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And that power is still available for the children of God. God as never before. Help us to get into position, oh Lord our God, as never before. Don't be running off looking and trying to find other things, but the place is where God will want us to be is calling on that name. Power is in that wonderful name of Jesus. So I pray that you're blessed. Call someone, encourage them to come and listen to home and meet us on Tuesday, every Tuesday at 2 o'clock Pacific time, where we are teaching, where we are sharing, where we are imparting and stirring up the pure faith of the children of God as never before. God's getting ready to raise the church back up. The power that he has delivered to the church as never before. It have not left. Amen. But God is raising it up as never before and things, and going to use his children as never before.